Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. And welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. We want to welcome everyone, especially those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you will indeed feel welcome here at Main Street. And if you are a visitor looking for a church home, if you will give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So, if you would please now pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. We've got an awful lot going on in the life of the church this week. Next Sunday, we will be celebrating 90 years of service here in this beautiful sanctuary. We will duplicate the service that actually occurred back in November of 1918. So you don't want to miss the service next Sunday. Immediately following the service, we will have a luncheon, a celebration luncheon. Tickets are available for that. They are $7 for adults, $4 for children. It will be barbecued chicken. We will have tickets available immediately following the service today, just outside the door here to my left and in the narthex. So you can pick up tickets for next Sunday's luncheon. We do need you to pick up tickets today because we will have to make orders for the chicken this week, so please make plans to attend that next Sunday. Also, we will have a parents' night out on Friday, December the 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Need to register in the church office no later than Tuesday, November the 25th. The cost is $5 per child, which is due at registration. Our Wednesday night gathering series continues this week with the meal at 5:15, the program beginning at 6 o'clock. Again, two programs this week, one being the book study, Practicing the Faith. And the second program, Dr. Lee Patterson of the Carolina Bone and Joint Center will be presenting a program entitled Orthopedic Problems in an Aging Population. Again, if you are going to be attending the meal, please make reservations by contacting the church office or by filling out one of the reservation cards in the pew rack. Our youth are selling Christmas wreaths. Live Christmas wreaths. They are taking orders for those. They will be delivered on December the 1st, but they need to get your order prior to November the 12th. So if you would like a live Christmas wreath for Christmas this year, if you would contact the church office, or you can contact Jessica by emailing her at youth@msumc1.org. This afternoon from 2 to 4 will be our second annual Family Fun Bike Day that will be held at Mount Lebanon United Methodist Church in 96. Donations of canned goods will be accepted for the 96 food bank. So that's Family Fun Bike Day this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Also, members of the Board of Stewards are reminded of a meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock in the Trinity Classroom. It's an important meeting. We will be considering the budget for next year. United Methodist Men will be meeting on Tuesday, November the 18th, with a dinner beginning at 5:30. The program will be presented by Dr. Steve Skinner, who will be talking about genetics, old and new. Again, if you would contact the church office and make reservations for that dinner on not this Tuesday, but Tuesday, November the 18th. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
For those who are able, please stand and join with me in the call to worship. Put away the things you have substituted for God. Let your worship of the one true God be genuine. God is not deceived by our solemn assemblies. Our empty festivals do not impress our God. Our hope is in God's grace beyond all judgment. Our trust is in God's love greater than our feeble imagination.
Please be seated and join me in our invocation. God of our ancestors, be our God today as we gather in sincerity and faithfulness to honor you. Attune our hearts to your commandments as we remember your mighty acts. Declare your word to us so we may be inspired to obey. We know that we must decide today whether or not we will serve you. Not to decide is to reject you. O God, save us from the idols that appear so attractive to us, the toys that take so much of our attention, and the pursuits that dominate our time. Make your dwelling place with us here. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading comes from 1 Samuel, chapter 24, verses 1a, and then 14 to 25. 1 to 3a, and then 14 to 25. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And from the 24th, excuse me, the 13th verse. And I have given you the land of which you now you did not labor, and cities that you built not. And you cities you were built not, you dwell in them, and in the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not to eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day which you will serve. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered God and said, God forbid we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He is it that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, in which we did these great signs in our sight, and perceived us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve God, Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is jealous, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Therefore go away and put all strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God your Israel. And all the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people and set for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Our epistle readings comes from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter to the Thessalonians, and it's chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also will sheep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And burning, keep your mouths trimmed and burning.
Thank you, choir. That was a stirring anthem. And as we come to our time of prayer together on this Sunday, which is closest to Veterans Day, we'll be mindful of our veterans who have served and our veterans who lost their lives, those who died in service. We come also to a time in the life of this church where I have some announcements to make, some concerns, and one that you may not have heard is that Clyde Watson, Riley Watson's husband, did pass away this morning. So let us be in prayer for that family, for their loss, and also we will have the information in the office when that service is going to be. And as the election has passed, as we have always done, I encourage you to pray for our newly elected leaders, that they be open to the influence of God's Spirit. Being mindful of our prayer concerns and our thanksgivings, let us go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to worship you, to pray for one another, and to pray for our newly elected leaders, indeed, that they be open to the influence of your Spirit, to your will. And on this particular Sunday, we do honor those veterans, living, dead, and now serving, who protect and stand ready to give themselves for others. Help us to be as loyal and dedicated to others in our way as they have been to us while serving. We honor their discipline and courage. Help us to have the discipline and courage while serving the cause of justice and freedom in our way. And Lord, give each of us discipline and courage to stand for the things which matter to you each day. We've all been touched in our time by the threat of violence and chaos, and some know firsthand the sound of fighting each day. We know that combat vets know in their hearts and dreams the bitterness, the pain, and the fear of war. Veterans know, as you know, God, the cost of war. We yearn for the day when swords will be beaten into plowshares and all people will study war no more. But in the meantime, in this fallen world, give us the peace and comfort of your Spirit in this world that is living through many dark and dangerous days. We are thankful for those who are willing to serve and protect, even in the face of the tragedy that is war. And Lord, we do pray for those who are grieving, for Agnes Rogers, who lost her sister, for Sarah Hartung, who suddenly lost her mother, for Morgan Jones, who lost a twin brother last week, for Amy Gregory and her continuing treatments as she heals, for Billy Tunstall and his continuing treatments as he heals, for Chip Stockman as he recovers from surgery, and for many others. We lift before you and our silent time of prayer. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It seems that I am saying this at the November and December season. Every year, so many of us wait to see how finances are going before we decide our year-end giving. And I want to remind you, the end of the year is approaching. It's time to figure fast. And I do know that financial realities are completely uncertain, but I do pray that you will pray about your year-end giving once again. Let us worship God through our giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's message.
Come on up a little bit closer, please. I want you up close to me. And good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you, Cecilia. Boys and girls, I have a little flashlight with me this morning. And you know, the flashlight comes in really handy when maybe the power goes out in our house and everything is dark. We use the flashlight to help us find our way around in the dark. But it's also a good idea to have some extra batteries on hand in case the batteries in our flashlight don't work anymore and we have to put in new batteries. And that's what you call, as the Boy Scout motto says, being prepared. We have to be prepared for things like that, don't we? Well, in Jesus' time, people didn't have flashlights and they didn't have batteries, but they did have lamps. You were going to say candles. Well, you know, maybe they made candles too, but they mainly used lamps, and they had to put oil in their lamps to get their lamps to burn. And so the people in Jesus' time had to make sure that they had their lamps ready, and they had to have extra oil to put in their lamps in case they ran out of oil. Well, one day Jesus told a parable using the oil lamp as an example. He told this story about a wedding that was going to take place. And there were 10 bridesmaids that were going to be a part of this wedding. And the 10 bridesmaids and the bride were waiting at a home, and they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And they kept looking and watching for the bridegroom to come, and it just seemed like he would never come. Well, it got later and later. It got dark outside. The bridesmaids got sleepy, and so they fell asleep waiting on the bridegroom. And all of a sudden, they were awakened by someone shouting, "Here comes the bridegroom. He's coming. Everybody get up. Go out and greet him. Get yourself ready." Well, the ten bridesmaids jumped up to light their lamps so that they could see. And five of them had extra oil to put in their lamps. Five of them had not brought any extra oil. So they didn't have oil to put in their lamps to make their lamps light. And the five that didn't bring extra oil had to go out and buy more oil. So they did this. They went out to buy more oil. But by the time they got back, everybody had gone. And then they found their way to the bridegroom's house where the wedding feast was going to take place. And guess what? The door was closed and the door was locked. They couldn't get in to be able to take part in the wedding feast. So these five bridesmaids were not very prepared, were they? Well, you know, Jesus tells us that we need to be ready for his return. We don't know when he's going to return, and it may be a very long time, but we need to do what we can do to be ready. And there are several things that we can do to be ready for Jesus when he returns. One thing is to read our Bible And when you in Sunday school have those Bible verses that you learn, you need to think about those and try to do what the Bible tells us to do. And one thing that the Bible tells us to do is to love each other, to love one another, to love God first and to love each other. Okay, we can do that, and we can also trust in God. So those are some things that we can do to be ready and be prepared, just like having extra batteries for my flashlight helps me to be prepared if I need the light, if my electricity goes off in my home, or if I need to go outside on a dark night to find something. I need to have extra batteries. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to be ready when Jesus comes again. Help us to trust in Him and to follow His teachings. Amen.
As I wrote in the newsletter article this week, I'm going to give you the opportunity to hug a veteran today. Before the passing of the peace, men and women who are veterans in wartime or peacetime, if you served, please stand. Those of you who are still seated, look around. Your opportunity to hug, salute, or shake the hand of a veteran. Let us pass the peace. Now let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The gospel lesson is from Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came also saying, "Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is a difficult text, and we'll approach it from several angles at once. And I hope leave pondering and perhaps better understanding the message for our time and our faith. But first, what I consider a funny story. A middle-aged bookstore customer, obviously peeved, said to a clerk, "Every time I come in here to buy a bestseller, you are sold out. Why can't you people learn to stock your shelves more efficiently?" And the clerk asked, "Ma'am, what was the title of the book you wished to purchase?" And the woman answered, "How to Remain Young and Beautiful." And the clerk said, "Okay, all right, I will place the order for How to Remain Young and Beautiful at once." She sort of looked at her a bit and she said, "And I'll make that order urgent." Urgency is today's theme. In Jesus' day, and this is funny, the bride was not the center of attention at a wedding. The groom was. Very different. The actual time of the wedding was kept secret in his culture, so it would be a surprise. Although everybody knew that the couple was going to get married, they did not know when, so everybody stayed ready because it could happen at any time. When the groom is here, when the announcement came, everybody was supposed to jump up and be ready, and the celebration would start. In Jesus' day and in that language at that time, the urgency and the importance of being prepared and ready would have resonated mightily in this story. And this parable is, in the beginning, hopeful, but it ends so harshly with a shut door that many Christians, even some pastors, say Jesus could never have ended a story that way, and so they dismiss it. And I have, for weeks, and pondering and speaking with my group of Wisdom of the Ages and been praying about it, looking at commentaries, and I have noticed, and you should notice too, that in the 25th chapter of Matthew, there are three parables in a row which all deal with consequences and closed doors. The parable of the bridesmaids for today, the consequences of being unprepared for long waiting when you knew the length of the wait was uncertain. And then the parable of the talents for next week, the consequences of not even trying to do what your master knew you were fully capable of doing. And then the parable of judgment, the sheep and the goats, the consequences of how you treat others, and the surprising judgment based not on ritual purity, but on simple compassion. Each has a potentially bad ending. You might even go so far as to see in each of them, and this is a new thought for me, an echo of the Garden of Eden story. Boundaries are set, boundaries are broken, consequences follow. Each story also has to do with waiting and being found faithful as you wait. And in today's parable, uncertain amount of time passes waiting for the groom. And in the talent story, the question is what each has done while waiting for the master's return. In the last parable of judgment, the matter is decided by how you treat other people while waiting for a final accounting of your life. Waiting and consequences. Author Norman Cousins wrote, "Wisdom consists of anticipation of consequences." I'll buy that. And you can also find similar wisdom sometimes printed on a Starbucks cup of coffee. Life is short. Stay awake. It's a different sort of awake, I guess. In parable form, this reading deals with Christ's return, what we commonly refer to as the second coming and then after the final judgment. John Wesley was once asked what he would do if he knew that the Lord was going to return the next day. And he said, in effect, "I would go to bed, I would go to sleep, and I'd wake up in the morning, and I would go on with my work. For I would want him to find me doing what he had appointed, me to do." And I've seen a version of that long answer on a bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is coming, look busy." Good advice. The late Louis Grizzard, humorist and author, was visited by his minister in the hospital. And Louis was being honest and said, "You know, I'm facing open heart surgery tomorrow." And he said he confessed to his minister that he had not exactly been a paragon of virtue. And he said, "Do you think there's still time to repent?" And the minister looked at his watch and replied, "Yes, but I would hurry if I were you." Whether we like it or not, this same message is all through the Gospels. We hear today about the foolish and wise bridesmaids. Identical labels of the foolish and wise are also used about the wise man who built his home upon a rock. You remember that story. And the foolish one who built his home upon sand at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And when the foolish maids arrive too late after a midnight oil run, they cry out, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But the groom rebuffs their last minute pleas, "Truly, I do not know you." Harsh words. We hear nearly identical warnings at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Those who cry out, "Lord, Lord," but fail to do the will of God the Father are rejected. But with the harsh phrase, "I never knew you." And it reminds me also, as I pondered this some more, of the story of Noah when the rains fell and it became obvious a big flood was indeed coming. And Noah's neighbors started beating on the door, but it was after the door was shut. His words are found in more places than just today's reading. And so I think they are worthy of our struggle while seeking to understand on the one hand spiritual consequences and on the other hand a God of grace. Could the message be something like gravity? Could it be, if you step out of an airplane without a parachute, it will, no doubt about it, end badly. Could the message be in that vein, a warning? It is a parable. It is not an allegory, so we don't need to find any significance in the number 10 divided 5 wise and 5 foolish. We might even be on thin ice to talk too much about oil, but it makes more sense to me if we remember that all through the Old Testament, oil was used to anoint, and it was a source of energy for light. More than once, we find the idea that oil is a sign of God's presence, a sign of God's blessing.
Old and New Testament. In fact, some of the very earliest church fathers in the second century used an explanation of a lamp and oil to try to explain the Trinity. And they saw the oil as the hidden but power source of energy was the Spirit, and that the two different flames coming from one lamp could be the Father and the Son revealed in different ways, but the same source and the same God. I also like this poem that sort of gets at that point. To keep the lamp alive, with oil we fill the bowl. 'Tis water makes the willow thrive, and grace that feeds the soul. Now let me try to illustrate a parable with a parable, or a story with a story. I ran across this story about a lighthouse. There was a lighthouse many years ago on a bleak coast that was tended by a keeper who was given just enough oil to last 1 month. He was told to keep that light burning every single night. It was a treacherous coast. But one day a woman came along who lived nearby and said she needed some oil for her children to stay warm. And then a farmer came and said his son was studying and reading, doing his homework at night, and he needed oil for a lamp so he could read. And still another needed oil for an engine, for a pump. The keeper saw every one of these requests as worthy, and he measured out just enough oil to satisfy their need. And near the end of the month, though, before the end of the month, the lighthouse tank ran dry. And that night, the beacon was dark, 3 ships crashed against the rocks, and over 100 people died. A government official investigated, and the man explained what he had done and why, and the official said, "You were given just one task to do. And it was to keep this light burning. Everything else is secondary. There is no defense." Now, we humans do tend to forget what we are doing and why. The church, especially over time, has tended to forget what we are doing and why. I have another story about an absent-minded professor who was so absorbed in his work that he forgot the simplest everyday details of life. One morning, his wife told him, "Now, Henry, remember, we are moving today. And I'm putting this note in your pocket. We are moving today." The day passed, and the man came home to what used to be his house. And he entered the front door, and he found the place empty. He was distraught. He walked out on the curb, and he sat down with his head in his hands, and a young boy walked up to him, and he said, "Little boy, do you know the people who used to live here?" And the boy replied, "Sure, Dad." "Mom told me you'd forget." That story's not about me, I don't think. How often we become absorbed like the foolish maidens in the things of this world, and we forget who we are and whose we are and where we are going and what we're supposed to be about. Another old legend, a parable to illustrate a parable. A man who had a rather stupid servant. The master often got exasperated with his servant. And one day, in a fit of frustration and to try to teach his servant a lesson, he said, "You have got to be the stupidest man I've ever met. I want you to carry this staff everywhere you go. And if you ever meet a man stupider than you are, then give him the staff." And so the servant carried the staff as an object of ridicule. And often in the marketplace he would meet some people who were questionable, but he was never sure whether they were worse off than he. Years passed, and the servant was always carrying his staff. Then one day he came back to the castle, and he was ushered into the bedroom where his master lay, quite sick, quite ill in the bed. And in the course of the conversation, the master said, "I am going on a long journey." And the servant said, "When do you plan to return?" The master said, "This is a journey from which I will not return." The servant said, "Sir, have you made the necessary preparations?" The master said, "No, I have not." The servant said, "Could you have made the necessary preparations?" The master said, "Yes, I could have. I've had my whole life to make the preparations, I suppose, but I've been busy with other things." The servant said, "Master, you are going on a journey from which you will never return, and you could have prepared for it, but you just didn't." The master said, "Yes, I guess that's right." And the servant took the staff that he had carried so long, and he said, "Master, take this with you. At last I've met a man more stupid than myself." The story reminds me that without deadlines, I know I would get nothing done. And death itself is a reality that faces us all as the ultimate deadline. Every birth certificate comes with an expiration date. Death is looming somewhere out there ahead of us, and it forces us to make choices and priorities. More than once, I've heard stories like the following from parishioners. And in particular, I'm thinking of one middle-aged man who said to me, he said, "I've always let my wife handle the religion in the family." Sounds too familiar. Well, his wife died. And he was fumbling around trying to find a handle on what to do next and how to move on. And he said to me, "Jim, when I went off to college, I put my Christian faith in a drawer. I didn't think that I would be needing it. That was about 30 years ago. And now I need it, and I can't remember where I put it." Deep faith is not a memorized creed. Deep faith is a relationship with God in which the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us and over time changes us and our priorities and our choices and our ability to see and care about people around us. Dr. Paul Brand was speaking to a medical college in India, a Christian physician. And he was saying, "Let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father." In front of the lectern there in India was an oil lamp, and its cotton wick was burning from a shallow dish of oil. And as he preached, the lamp ran out of oil, and the wick ran dry. And you know what happens. It started to smoke, bitter smoke, and it made Dr. Brand cough, and he immediately used this as an opportunity. He said, "Some of us here are like this wick. We're trying to shine for the glory of God, but we stink." That's what happens when we use ourselves as the fuel for our witness instead of God's Holy Spirit. Wicks can last indefinitely, burning brightly and without irritating smoke if the fuel is the Holy Spirit as our constant supply of power. God's Spirit gives us that light within, and that helps me make sense of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, where it speaks of Jesus and it says about Jesus, "In him was life, and the life was the light of all humankind." Verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 9, "The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world." God came to us in Jesus Christ. And as he was completely Holy Spirit and God and Father and Son at once, he revealed the light of God. That thought also helps me make sense of the five maidens who would not share their oil. If oil indeed, continuing the Old Testament symbolism of blessing and anointing and the presence of God, if oil means all of that, then the unready maidens were those who had a form of faithfulness, but not the heart. They had the dress of faithfulness, but no light in Christ, no presence of God's Spirit within. They were like a wick with no oil. They were empty. Empty. And to make a very, very bad pun, they were all dressed up with no way to glow. I tried. I warned you. And I will end as William Barclay ended in his commentary on these same verses. He says, "The foolish virgins found it impossible to borrow oil when they discovered they needed it. Someone cannot borrow a relationship with God. He must possess it, or she must possess it for themselves. You cannot borrow character. You must be clothed with it yourself. We cannot always be living on the spiritual capital of parents, our friends, our grandparents who inspired us in the faith. There are certain things we must acquire for ourselves, for we just cannot borrow them from others. Neither can we piggyback on the generosity nor the compassion of others. There are some things we must do for ourselves." I believe the message of the parable is, while we may, prepare. Prepare. Amen. Please stand.
Sing with all the saints and glory, sing the
death and sorrow that stalks no more, where the former days belong. All around the crowds are breaking, soon the storms of time shall cease. In God's likeness we are making, will be everlasting peace. Oh, what glory far exceeding all that I have yet received. For it was for ages bleeding, never that full joy conceived. God has promised, Christ prepares it, there on high our welcome waits. Every humble spirit shares it, Christ has passed the eternal gate. Life eternal, heaven rejoices, Jesus lives who once was dead. Join we now the deathless voices, child of God, lift up your head. Patriarchs from the distant ages, lights of glory for their head. Prophets, omniscient and sages, all await the glory here. Now receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Savior, and the presence and the power and the comfort even in this moment of God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.